coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn, it's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark, Sarah, and JC. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is powered by DuBloy Electric, building lasting relationships since 1967. From homes to businesses, their licensed, fully trained technicians handle it all. Repairs, upgrades, standby generators, EV chargers, heat pumps, and more. No job is too big and no job is too small. Learn more at DuBloyElectric.com. Also brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squash it. At 4 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupers.
We are making podcast history today. Well, Lunch Bunch podcast history.
We got a lot going on today.
This is our first 6 microphone setup here in the studio. And we are joined by Jonas Maines, Jordan Clatchy, and Becca Tinkham, who are here to talk about Rocky for Equality. Welcome, everybody.
Hey, happy to be here. It is not that early.
You know, the things I do for you.
Aww.
See, the trick is just never going to sleep, and then you're fine. Start whenever.
That's how it works.
We are going to talk to these three characters all about Rocky for Equality and a whole lot more coming up here in just a bit. But before we do, let's take a look at some headlines for Tuesday, November 25th.
The Lewiston Police Department appointed Lewiston Police Lieutenant Carly Conley as its new chief. Chief Conley is a Sebattis native and joined Lewiston PD in 2001. She was promoted to the rank of sergeant in 2017 and became the department's first female supervisor. Now she is the first woman to serve as the city's police chief. She will oversee Maine's second largest city behind Portland.
Conley said she is committed to fostering a partnership with the community that is built upon transparency, fairness, accountability, and mutual respect. Her vision is a department that is visible, accessible, engaged, officers working with residents, building trust day by day. She plans on hosting public listening sessions to hear from the Lewiston community. The first is scheduled for Wednesday, December 10th.
Auburn City offices will be closed on Thursday and Friday. There will be no curbside trash collection on Thanksgiving Day. Residents are welcome to take their regular household trash to Maine Waste to Energy on 110 Goldthwaite Road.
And Lewiston Fire Department Senior Private George Morgan recently retired after 25 years of service in the department and the U.S. military. Now it's time for the weather.
The weather? Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
Get that for my ringtone.
It's lovely.
It's not my best work.
Oh, we're not done yet.
There's more.
There's more.
All right.
Exciting.
When's the album coming out? Is that on the EP?
You can just add them in post.
What's that?
I like that we get to listen to them live.
Even though you can just add them. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
That's nice.
Good touch.
We're legit. Back.
Otherwise, you just sit here for a second. What's the weather look like, JC?
Cloudy today with some late evening showers. We'll have a high of 45 and a low of 28. Cloudy skies with early morning and evening rain tomorrow. High of 49 and a low of 41. A mixture of sun and clouds for Thanksgiving with highs in the mid-40s.
In sports, the Bruins visit the New York Islanders tomorrow night at 7.
The Celtics will host the Detroit Pistons tomorrow at 5.
And the Maine Nordiques host the Northeast Generals tomorrow night at 7:15 in Auburn.
And the Lewiston Maniacs host the Woodstock Slammers on Friday and Saturday at the Colisée. That is your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is Sweeping the Twin Cities. I wish you guys would have known about that cue because that would have sounded amazing.
Want to do it again?
Almost did it.
Do it again.
Yeah, let's run it back.
Almost
can we get a harmony? Can like a harmony going on there?
Let's try.
What is that? Swimming? We're saying
sweeping.
Sweeping. God. Okay.
Oh,
I'm glad I. Asked.
Oh God.
Sweeping.
I would have been very
confident.
Ruin
the whole
very
thing.
Wrong.
Kick him right out.
And now it's time for the podcast segment that is
Sweeping the
Twin Cities. It's time for famous people birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's famous people birthdays. It's famous people birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for November the 25th, shall we?
Okay.
All right. We're going to start off with competitive eater Joey Chestnut,
yikes,
who is 42 years old today. He is the hot dog eating champion of the world. He set the world record when he ate 75 hot dogs in 10 minutes 5 years ago.
It makes my tummy hurt just thinking about it.
I got a buddy, Reggie, who can do that.
He also... He also ate 9.8 pounds of pork ribs in 12 minutes, 4.5 pounds of steak in 8 minutes, and 78 matzo balls in 8 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Not all at the same time.
Sure.
Unhinged his jaw like a snake and just dropped it all in.
Viewers looked away.
Yeah. Get it off my plate.
You think he can unhinge his jaw like a...
You got to be able to, right?
Yeah. Christina Applegate is 54 years old today. Mm. She gained fame by playing Kelly Bundy on Married with Children in the 80s. What was her... Oh, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, I think was her big movie in 1991. Mm-hmm. She was also in The Legend of Ron Burgundy, played opposite Will Ferrell in 2004.
She had a great television show called Samantha Who as well, where she was a horrible person who has some kind of a head injury and then can't remember when she wakes up that she was a horrible person.
Oh, no. Oh,
and it's really funny because they do like flashbacks to her being awful and then her in her current state of being a nice person.
Oh, so she's probably like meeting people who knew her.
Yeah, and they hate her because she was horrible. She plays it so perfectly. It's a really funny show.
Christina was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2021. She has stepped away from working on screen, but is continuing to do voice work. Actor John Larroquette, 78 years old today. He was in Night Court back in the 80s, also on Boston Legal. And little known fact about John Larroquette, he made his film debut by providing the opening narration to the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre that came out in 1974.
Did not know that.
And rounding out FPBs for November the 25th is actor and game show host Ben Stein, who is 81 years old today. Bueller.
Bueller.
That's him.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was the host of Win Ben Stein's Money.
Yes.
One of Sarah's favorite shows.
I do love that show.
Right?
Yeah. You skipped over Judge Bruno Tonioli from...
Oh, did I?
Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, I did.
I thought maybe you'd take the opportunity to say...
Carrie Ananaba.
Yes. I know how much you love that because it's your favorite name.
It's my favorite name. I never know if it's all one name or if it's three or if it's five. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, we love it, though.
Anywho, those are your FPBs. Oh, Ben Stein also worked at the White House under President
Nixon. I knew that. Yeah, he's like super smart or something.
Yeah.
Good for you, Ben.
Like you have to be smart to work at the White House.
No, but like he's like, he's a super smart economist. I mean, times were different in the Nixon era, you guys.
Gotcha.
I guess so.
Okay.
Like, you had to be smart.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Those are your FPBs. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
Sorry, Jonas.
Hey, once in a generation lyrics.
Very, no,
they don't write them like that. They just don't write them like that anymore.
Unmatched.
Stairway on this day.
Right at the same
level. All, I mean, neck and neck in terms of popularity with
one and one
Jonas.
A. Yep.
The audience has voted, and it's a tie.
27 years ago on this day in 1998, A Bug's Life was released. That was a cute movie.
Film.
George
Cinema.
Clooney provided a voice in that, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. Who else did? I don't remember.
There's two bug movies at the same time. That were
Ants
released.
With a Z.
Ants
with a Z.
Well, wasn't it one of those situations where it was like Disney and Pixar were like competing, or like they like one of them lost?
Oh, I don't remember this.
That went and made like the same movie somewhere else.
Oh, Ants must not have done as well because I only remember Bugs Life.
I just the only thing I remember about Ants was like. They had like a Saving Private Ryan scene at the
whole minute.
Yeah, it was like the ants were, I don't know, like they were fighting, I don't know, like crickets or something.
It
and
weird.
It was like really, really dark. I remember being like five or six and I was like, I kind of feel like this is going over my head. I feel like there's some mature themes here that I'm not grasping.
Something here is happening that I don't quite.
Can we watch A Bug's Life?
Yeah.
So George Clooney was not in A Bug's Life.
No?
I was
seeing ants?
He might have been in ants.
Oh.
So we're looking at Dave Foley, Kevin Spacey, Bonnie Hunt, John Ratzenberger, Dennis Leary, Brad Garrett, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, David Hyde Pierce, Phyllis Diller.
What a list, huh?
Right? Yeah.
No wonder no one's ever heard of ants.
Made a terribly terrifying ride at Disney based on that movie.
Oh, really?
Oh. It's gone.
I know.
Can't fathom why.
Oh, it was, like, terrifying. It traumatized
me. Okay. I feel like I went on that ride.
It was in the giant tree.
Yep.
At Animal Kingdom.
Yep. Yep.
Definitely. Makes sense. That's where I'd put it. Yeah.
I remember.
That's where I'd put it.
I remember being in the theater where they did the, it was like the 3D theater, and they did like, they sprayed you with bug spray.
Yeah, that's the one.
Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, that's the one.
And they poke you underneath your butt.
And the cricket was like a giant animatronic that rose up from the ground.
Yeah, they got emails
he's
on
a grasshopper.
That.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
it was something.
It's been a while.
Anyways. 38 years ago in 1987, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was released, starring Steve Martin and John Candy.
What a classic.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one. 45 years ago in 1980, boxing fans saw the infamous No Mas fight between Sugar Ray Leonard and Roberto Duran.
Yeah, the one before that was way better.
Yeah?
Yeah, Sugar Ray lost.
Oh, yeah.
And then he knew that Roberto Duran was going to go back to Panama and party his ass off. So Sugar Ray scheduled the rematch for like 8 months later.
105 years ago in 1920, Texas radio station WTAW broadcast the first play-by-play description of a football game between the University of Texas and Texas A&M. 158 years ago in 1867, Alfred Nobel patented dynamite. The invention made him so rich, his will established a $9 million fund for the Nobel Prizes. And that's Nobel Prizes, not Nobel.
Not Nobel?
Oh. Prizes. Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew? Named after Alfred Nobel. Now we know.
Now we know. The more you know.
The more you know.
You have to play that little jingle. Those are your FPBs and OTDs for November the 25th.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Hi, it's Donna Harris from Phoenix No Limits Karate here with your daily safety tip. If someone breaks into your home while you are there, find a place to hide and call 911. Let's all do our best to keep our community safe.
Now, we shift focus fully to our guests in studio, Jonas, Jordan, and Becca, because we are talking Rocky IV Equality. Jonas and Jordan are actors in this production.
We do our best.
You do your best. Becca is the founder, producer, and director. And probably so much more.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we'll call you those three for now.
Thanks. Hey.
Becca, what can you tell us about Rocky IV Equality?
So Rocky IV Equality is a small nonprofit. We're a small theater company that I started back in 2011 up in Bangor, Maine. So I grew up doing the Rocky Horror Show every summer. It was just a traditional annual thing. And then I moved to Maine and everyone was like, what is Rocky Horror? And so I went to every theater company around. I tried to get them to do it with me and they were all like, absolutely not. So I started my own company and I've been doing it ever since.
Can I interject for a sec?
Yeah.
When they asked you, what is Rocky Horror? What was your response?
I probably got really passionate and launched into like my whole pitch and scared them.
Can you give us your pitch? Because I'm sure we have listeners that do not know what Rocky is. As hard as that is to believe.
Okay. So Rocky Horror is a musical. It started in London in 1970. It is about Brad and Janet, the heroes of the story. They're your traditional goody-two-shoes kids, and they are on an adventure to go visit their old science teacher, and their car breaks down, except it doesn't really break down. They get a flat tire, and they go to a castle that's nearby because, you know, why not? And they need a phone, but castles don't have phones. And then they meet a weird transvestite alien, and then everyone dies.
Yep.
Was that helpful?
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, and so...
I think the weirdest part of that is two people going on a road trip to visit their high school science teacher.
Everything
else, honestly, I can grasp the rest that part.
Yeah. I've reached a large milestone in my life. The first person I want to tell is my high school science teacher.
Yeah, it's real strange. The more you break it down, the more and more it doesn't make sense. But anyway, so it started as this musical, and then they decided in 1975 to make it into a movie, and the movie was a massive failure, except that it also became a massive success, and they still do it to this day. And you've probably heard of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is the movie version, and they will play it at theaters, and people will do a live shadow cast in front of the screen, and so the actors will copy what the actors on the screen are doing, and the audience will dress up in costumes, and they will throw props, and they will yell callbacks at the screen, and it's an experience. You don't just go and sit and watch a movie quietly. It's a whole experience, and it's interactive. And then we do the live musical, which is the original show that the movie is based off of, and so we don't have a movie playing on the screen. It is just all live actors, and it is a live band. And we still do the interaction and then the audience participation, but it's a little different. It's not the picture show.
It's a big production.
Yeah. It's a big production.
Mm-hmm. With a big, cool set and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Suitable for adults.
Mm. Yes.
And only adults, I didn't go into all of that in my description, but 18 plus, friends.
Please and thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Jordan, what was your reaction the very first time you saw the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
My first exposure to Rocky was the movie. I don't remember how old I was. I want to say I was like 14 or 15. It's just so fun. It's fun to watch, and seeing it live is even more fun. With the audience callbacks and the interactions you get to have with the cast. So,
yeah.
It's a good time.
Jonas, how about you?
I think I was in that same class of people that first became aware of Rocky Horror. If you remember that movie, Perks of Being a Wallflower, I can't remember what year. That was like 2011, I want to say, somewhere around there. And they had a scene in that movie where the characters were doing the shadow play version of it, and so that was my first exposure was seeing the movie within another movie, and having no other idea of what that meant. But I in high school had friends that were like familiar with the movie, and I sort of slowly became aware of it, and I didn't really fully understand the show until when I was a freshman in college playing Frank in the shadow play out at the University of Maine in Farmington. And I'll tell you, as a performer, that will build your confidence for the rest of your artistic career once you've done that show. Everything else is
it the corset?
I think that was a contributing factor, was the corset.
Was
yeah.
The fishnets or,
I mean, at a certain point, I was getting in costume and I had the heels and I had the fish. I remember I had to shave my legs for that show.
Yeah.
And I have a vivid picture of sitting in like a dormitory shower with a bag of like $2 like reusable razors.
Oh. Did you not have any female friends?
I had my partner at the time who, like, I didn't tell me there was a better way.
Dear Lord.
Wow. It was like a 90-minute involved process.
Just on the floor of a dorm shower. First of all, oh, yeah, exactly. Right, you wear shoes
for
in
any
those
number
showers
of reasons,
reason.
That was a bad, bad experience. But the show was fun.
You lived, so.
To your point, though, I do think that's kind of something that Becca has focused on with this production is the confidence, the body confidence, the body positivity. All of it is part of this production as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It is all about loving yourself and knowing who you are and being comfortable with who you are.
Yeah.
And so we really try to teach that to our cast and have our cast portray that to the audience and have the audience walk away feeling the same way as well.
And we should mention, too, that Jonas and Jordan are playing Brad and Janet. And I'm on the Rocky for Equality Facebook page, and there is a sellout warning in effect for this show, which is happening December 12th and 13th.
I need to get my tickets for the 13th.
Yeah, we only have 4 VIPs left, And general admission is going fast.
Now,
so.
What does the VIP get you? I ask, teeing up a question.
Completely knowing the answer.
So the VIP seats are, there's only 14 per show. They're right in that front row, and they get extra audience attention. The Phantoms spend a lot of time with them. The Phantoms are our ensemble members. They get a goodie bag of treats. They get snacks. They get water. They get drinks delivered to them in their seat. We just make them feel nice and special.
Very cool. 3 years ago, I made the mistake of telling Becca that I had never seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show or been exposed to Rocky in any way, shape, or form. And I did go to the show, the Rocky for Equality show at the Community Little Theater. And I got some special treatment that night, Becca.
You sure did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was your arc, kind of like being exposed to the story for the first time and you were?
I was amazed by the commitment of the actors.
Sure.
It was just amazing to me. I didn't know a whole lot about the story. I knew bits and pieces of it.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It was a whole lot of fun.
It's
yeah.
better that way when you don't know.
Go yeah. ahead.
Yeah.
I sat with Shanna Cox, who is the president and CEO of the Lewiston Auburn Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, perfect. They're exactly who you want to be sitting next to for
yes.
that kind of show.
Right, yeah.
I think I sat on Shanna Cox's lap.
Yeah, you probably did.
Yeah.
And she was right into it. And I enjoyed the whole experience. It was an incredible production. A lot of work, huh, Becca?
Yeah.
Only a little.
A little bit.
What inspired you to bring this to our local stage?
The whole vibe and trajectory of Rocky for Equality is to do an annual production, and this show is done in some places as often as every weekend. Still to this day, for 50 years, they've been doing it every single weekend with the shadow cast. The musical's a little bit more work, and that would be a little intense. But my goal is to do it annually and to bring it to the stage annually. And typically, it's a Halloween production, and that's when most people think of Rocky Horror, and that's when most people do Rocky Horror. And I'm sure that you've heard the Time Warp, which is the big Rocky Horror song. It's on every Halloween playlist at every Halloween party, so you probably know it, even if you don't realize that you do. And it's typically a Halloween production, which is when I have always done it in the past. I've either done it in the summertime because, you know, you're wearing your underwear and it's cold. So I either do it over the summer or we do it at Halloween.
Oh, yeah. The costuming is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. There's not a whole lot of clothes for some of us. That's just the
definitely
way it
not.
Is.
But what's really special about this year's production is we're doing a holiday overlay, and we're doing a holiday twist, and we are doing it in December. And I have wanted to do this for a very, very long time, and I'm so excited to be bringing this to the stage for the holiday season. It is going to be so fun.
You've got some Easter eggs kind of tucked in there that you're we don't have to talk about them, but
I'm not going to tell you.
But people are going to be like, "Oh."
Yeah, it's so fun, it's so clever. People who know the show are going to just love all of the little changes, and people who don't know the show are just going to have a lot of fun because the holiday is definitely intertwined.
And our very own Sarah was in the production that I saw.
Right.
You were in Rocky for Equality.
I was. Yeah.
What was that experience like for you?
Oh, man.
I enjoyed the production part of it. It was really fun. I definitely felt like it was a cast full of people who loved each other very, very much. And we built really strong connections, and we supported and cared for each other very well throughout the production. It's a lot of work. Kudos to you guys. It's a lot of work. And it, you know, especially this time of year, Becca, take on a project during the holidays. You're a little bit crazy. Not that I didn't know that already, but
and she's a mom.
Yeah. She's doing a lot right now. But yeah, the production of it is super fun. My favorite thing was the set. It was so freaking beautiful. Mm. It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. That was well done.
Thank you.
Every part of it was beautiful. So
I wasn't supposed to do the show this year. I submitted it months and months and months ago, and then I submitted it to CLT, and I said, I think we should do this as a holiday production, and I never heard anything and moved on with my life. And then Brandon Chalou, going to throw him under the bus, gives me a call one day, and he's like, hey, Becca, you still want to do Rocky? And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, this December. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, we would have to start tomorrow. He's like, yeah, do you want to do it? And I was like, I don't have a band. And he goes, yeah, but do you want to do it? And I was like, I don't have time to market auditions. He's like, yeah, but do you want to do it? And I was like, give me a week. So we kind of just threw this together last minute, and everyone has just completely jumped in, 110% on board to make this production happen. And we have an accelerated rehearsal process because we threw it together so last minute. But it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Accelerated rehearsal process.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan,
what's that mean?
Jordan, do you thrive in that environment?
The answer is yes. I love the chaos. I think, jumping off of what you said, Sarah, it's just like it's a community full of people who love what they do and love each other. And I think that's the heart of community theater in general. And it just makes everything so worth it because it's lovely people and we get to show this awesome show to audiences. And it's just so fun.
Jonas, aside from shaving your legs, what do you love most about this production?
Not having to do that this time.
Yeah. Totally different character.
I'm not a musical guy. I studied like social political theater, kind of more classical like Shakespeare productions. I come from like a straight play background of like... Yeah, like Arthur Miller, kind of Tennessee Williams. So this is a pivot for me, but it's a beautiful time, and I think we have a very interesting cast in that. Like we have some people who have this is their first production, period, and they're opening with Rocky, and we have folks that are career performers and they know the show backwards and forwards, and what that makes for a production team is this amazing sort of bunch of different types of experiences that all come together and blend in a really cool way. Mm-hmm. So for me, there's the aspect of kind of learning the ins and outs of doing a musical and how that's different from doing a more traditional type of play. And then also just a show that you don't have to take yourself so seriously. In fact, if you do, it's kind of odd.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, like, for the audience, you can kind of sit back and be like, what I'm watching have happen is odd as hell, and it's supposed to be. Yeah. Yeah. And they all know it, and I know it, and we can all just collectively have a kind of a good time here. It's not one of those shows that you have to like have a profound sort of thesis about at the end, right, or like you come to some cosmic conclusion about the deep themes. I mean, you can do it.
You can. I mean,
yeah,
honestly, if you do, I'd like to hear it because
you could
interpret the ending in any way you wanted to. Really,
sure.
Yeah, you can be cerebral about it. I think that'd be a weird take, but I think it's like some shows are like that and other shows are like fun and just kind of speak a little bit more viscerally to like a human emotional experience. Mm. And I think this is probably one of those where it's like, yeah, it's like have a good time. And it's like you were saying, Beck, it's like that kind of liberation and the shrugging off of sort of some social shackles, right? Mm. And I think audiences are gonna have a good time just being in this space for a couple hours, experiencing this wild thing, and then being released back on society.
Yeah, yeah, which is such a downer, by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
Harrison? You leave the theater after that show, it's like, oh Wolf. God.
It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, to be in a situation for an hour and a half or 2 hours where the stigmatization of sexuality is just gone.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're just there and you can just be who you are and enjoy everybody for who they are. And it's just, it's one of those experiences where you can be like, man, it would be really great if this is how it was out there in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the audience kind of has that experience with Brad and Janet too.
Yeah.
As characters who start this story very reined in and are, so the audience is kind of going along with them throughout the narrative, right? Where like they are thrust into this place as well. And in the same way that Brad and Janet are sort of like having things like happen around them and to them, the audience is, especially for our folks that have not seen it, are in a very similar type of experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just as alarmed as
we're just as perturbed as you are.
Absolutely.
JC, we spoke a little bit before we started recording. You have never watched or been exposed to anything having to do with Rocky.
No.
Right. Based on what you've heard so far, do you think this is something you'd want to check out?
I think definitely.
Sounds like
interesting at the very least. Yeah. It sounds like yeah. I don't know.
Interesting is a word for it.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll take it.
Hey.
JC, do you know Do you know what those little things that go over your nipples are called?
Oh, my God.
Stickers. Little pasties.
The little stickers.
Surprisingly, that's not an out of left field question.
Maybe get some of those for the show.
Get some if that's any indicator, that's
it's considered formal.
It's relevant.
Attire, that's part of what we do.
Okay.
Invest in those.
Okay.
Yeah. And then pretty much nothing else.
Okay.
So we have a late night show. sorry.
I got my tickets for that one.
Perfect.
Oh, good.
Oh, man.
So
JC's making an appointment with HR right now, by the way.
So Rocky,
I'm just trying to help her.
No, this is important information to have.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's valid.
I want to go in
so,
unprepared.
Traditionally, Rocky Horror is done at midnight. It's shown at midnight. That's typically when it happens. However, I have had a hard time getting Maine to adjust to that. That's weird. I don't know. People here like to go to bed early and nothing stays open past 7. But we are doing a late night show. It is not a midnight show. It is 10:30. So, you'll make it. But so at the late night show, speaking of pasties, in 2022, the last time we did this production, it was the first time we had done a late night show. And I told the cast that they could get a little crazy and they could wear whatever they wanted and kind of just have fun with the show. It's going to be our closing performance, and it's late at night, and, you know, get a little wild. And that was all I said, and then I didn't think about it again. And then I
poor choice of words.
We had so many pasties.
And then it was in between the 7:30 show and the 10:30 show, and I'd been out front cleaning to switch audiences over, and I run out back, and everyone was in pasties and wearing no clothing. And I was like, oh no.
You gave them too much slack.
I gave them too much.
You were not specific
freedom.
Enough for us.
I was not. And they were all like, hey, Becca. And I was like, oh, okay, here we go. have fun. And they did. And it was excellent. So I can only imagine what's going to happen this year.
I don't know about the just pasties thing, but we are going to have fun.
So as mentioned, there is a sellout warning for these shows. And Becca, how can folks get tickets?
RockyForEquality.com.
There you go. Mm-hmm. It's that easy.
It's that easy. If you follow us on Facebook, we're posting all of the crazy shenanigans as the rehearsal process is going on, and we'll post the link.
Cool. So we'll start with you, Becca, and we'll go around with any parting thoughts that you would like to tell our listeners, especially the ones who are not familiar with Rocky. Why should they go see this show?
I have been doing this show for 20 years, and I have never met anyone who has come to see the show and gone, I'm not going back. Yep. Every single person that I have ever introduced this show to has had the time of their life, and they are from all different walks of life. I have had elderly, very conservative people walk in, and I'm terrified for them to see it because I'm like, these people are going to hate me. They're going to hate this. And they love it so, so, so much because it is just truly fun. It is wild. It is fun. It is loud. It is we have a live rock band on the stage. We have 19 performers in the show. It is just an incredible time. And with the holiday twist, it's going to be even more fun this year. So
awesome.
If you've seen it, you love it. If you haven't seen it, you will love it. So definitely come out and time warp with us.
Yeah. All right.
Shout outs to any of your production team today.
Oh my gosh. I have so many people. my assistant director is Cody Watson. He played Brad the last time we did the show, and he's one of my very good friends. Our vocal director is Bryce Smith. She played Janet last time we did the show. So Brad and Janet have kind of taken a step off the stage and are helping this year's Brad and Janet and helping this year's cast, not only with, you know, the direction and the vocals and the music, but also just who these characters really and truly are. Danielle Eaton played Columbia in last year's production, and so she is choreographing the show this year. Greg Lambert is doing our set. He was a Phantom last year. He is very upset that he is not in it this year. I know, he's backstage working so hard building the set at every rehearsal and then, you know, pouting that he doesn't get to be on stage dancing with everybody else. Brandon Chaloux is returning as our stage daddy. Josh Karen, oh my gosh, Josh Karen played Rocky last time, and he's now doing the band. So he is now our music director. He's drumming. He is leading the band. It's a new band. We have a 4-piece band, and they're just absolutely incredible. Who am I forgetting? There's so many people on this team. I mean,
got
truly.
A lot going on.
Yeah, it doesn't end. Jamie and Sasha.
Oh, yes.
Jamie and Sasha. I'm sure you know of Sasha Lee's and
it's weird that we would have a connection with Sasha Lee's for this show, you know, to get all those corsets and fishnets and all the costumes. But they're doing our costumes.
That's going to be amazing.
Yes, they are burlesque extraordinaires. And so they are costuming our cast and working the front of house and just getting everybody in the right headspace to be at this performance.
That is a wonderful connection because I know Sasha Lee is so... body positive.
Yes.
Like really body positive. Mm-hmm.
She embodies everything that we strive to be at Rocky for Equality, and I'm so glad that we're working together.
Mm. It's such a great connection. Smart move. Thanks. He's digging through those boxes, trying to find something that fits.
We still did a little of that, but
I love it.
Jordan, any parting thoughts?
I think it's just exciting to have a holiday show that's not for the whole family, something for just the adults to do. A lot of the holiday activities are family friendly, and it's unique and fun to have something a little more wild to do.
Yeah. Something that's adult focused instead of kid focused for them.
Yeah, when the holidays really are focused on just like family activities usually. So I think it's unique in that way. Yeah. And it's also just a unique twist on Rocky for the people who already love the show.
And Jonas?
I think there's a lot of folks that, you know, theater can sometimes be the sort of thing where you sit down and you're quiet and you turn your phone off. You still turn your phone off, but it's sort of an experience where you're in your seat for two and a half hours and you're watching what's happening. And that's not for some folks. I would lightly encourage those folks to reassess that take on the theater experience with Rocky. It is if you are one of those people that thinks, yeah, going and sitting down and watching a live performance, it's just not my idea of a good time, this is not going to be that. Mm-hmm. If you make an exception, this should be your exception.
RockyForEquality.com. That's where you want to go for more info and for tickets. And you can also look them up on Facebook, Rocky for Equality.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamedialLC.com.
All right, folks, we like to close out the show with a segment called Three Random Questions, where we are going to ask you questions that have nothing to do with Rocky for Equality. Mm-hmm. You good with that? We're just trying to get to know you a little better as members of our community.
Sure.
Good, Becca?
Yep.
All right.
You seem less prepared for this.
So that reaction made me nervous.
Ask Sarah. I'm really bad at improv. Real bad.
Still waiting for that. haven't had that episode yet.
All right. We'll start with Jonas and work our way around. Jonas, if you were presented with a time machine and could go anywhere to the past or to the future for one round trip, where would you go and why?
You ever just have like a really good meal?
Oh my gosh.
And you're like, God, what I wouldn't give to experience that culinary delight again. I could say like Paris in the 18th century. I could say I'd want to go to like the dawn of time. And like, there's a lot. I think I would just go back to like a really solid meal and just, I don't know. I guess I don't know what the rules of time travel are, if that would like reset my appetite or not. I could just have a great meal, time travel back, do it again.
What's the last meal you had where you wanted it all over again?
I had a great, I was up, I live up in Augusta, and quick shout out to State Lunch up there. It's right on Water Street, and I had this amazing scallop dish, and it was like a Monday night. I was coming back from a rehearsal, and I came in, and I was just like, I needed a bite to eat, and I don't know why it hit so well, but if I had a time machine, and I could go back and eat that dish again, 100%.
All right.
100%.
Jordan, you've had a little time to think.
Oh,
Yeah, what meal would you go back at that?
So this is a leading question from you.
I was going to go kill Hitler, but scallops.
Yeah. Look, all right.
I don't know so much as a good meal, but like a good New York cheesecake, probably. Yeah. Just a good New York cheesecake.
Now for the real question. if I didn't hijack the...
Oh.
Or forward into the future, right? That's an option as well.
Of course.
Oh.
I don't know so much as I want to know what the future holds. I don't think I'd want to. Mm-hmm. I think I just want to go back in time and like feel the way that you feel when you're like a kid and you have that innocence and like it's summertime and you're out of school and there's nothing to worry about. I think that is where I'd travel back in time to.
Sounds all right.
Just a simpler time.
I'd go back in time to before I knew what taxes were.
Yeah, no, exactly. When I got 8 hours of sleep, you know?
Becca.
Dinosaurs.
Yes. Dinosaurs. Next question.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. What if they like came after you?
They would not.
Do you have a plan?
We would be friends.
Okay,
they are just misunderstood.
Would you build them a bunker?
Follow up question.
I can fix them.
I would do.
I can fix the dinosaurs, you guys.
What's your favorite dinosaur, Becca?
I don't really have one. I know, it's really crazy. I really love Triceratops. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just.
All right.
Sarah's doing dinosaur arms.
Sarah's a big T-Rex fan.
I really love it.
Look at how he can't even touch you.
Aww.
Yeah, you could hang out with the T-Rex.
It's hilarious.
I really love all dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Truly.
Okay, so you just go and hang out. Would you watch them or try to interact with them?
All of the above.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it might take me a little bit to like make my plan to approach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
However, it'd just be the creepy lady in the woods watching them for a while, and then, you know.
Well, the social norms were different back then.
Yeah.
So. Right. All right, JC, you're up, and we'll start with Jordan on this one.
All right. If you could have any animal as a pet, what animal would you choose?
Ooh, a capybara.
Yes!
You had that locked in and ready.
Well, okay, listen. I have a corgi at home, and it's pretty close. Like, she's pretty.
A corgi is pretty. In what way is a corgi close to a capybara?
Oh, no,
for me.
See, okay, Becca's got me.
I understand 100%. Yeah,
it's sort of the same shape.
It's mostly an aesthetic thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, small, you know, compact and cute. I feel like I'd get along real well with a capybara. They could swim in my swimming pool.
Because
they
are friends with all. That's
yeah,
why
they seem so pretty chill. Easy to just
so chill.
Coexist with. That sounds good to me.
Yep.
Becca.
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. Yeah. Now you have to pick one.
No, I love Sphinx cats.
I
used to have I've had 5 Sphinx cats and I don't have any currently and I'm so sad and I really miss them and I would love another Sphinx cat. They're all awesome.
Right. I didn't know that about you.
Nice. Yeah. I had naked kitties.
Jonas.
I think something like an otter or a raccoon would be really cool.
Hmm.
Like you see those videos on social media sometimes. Like they'll be like people that work in rescue and they'll have an animal that like isn't quite ready to go back into the wild or into a reserve, and so they just like live in your house for a little while, and you'll just see like a video of a raccoon like sitting on a couch eating a grape or something. Hmm. I'm like, I could get behind that 100%.
Couldn't be one of those people that like fosters animals until they're ready to go back. I'd keep the raccoon.
Yeah.
That's my raccoon now.
Yeah.
Like that's what that would be.
I named
him. Do you follow Louis the Raccoon on Instagram?
I do not. I will.
You should.
Immediately doing that.
Stop whatever you're doing. Go check him out.
All right. Sarah's question and Becca goes first.
Becca, if you could be a character in any sitcom, which one would you choose?
Oh my gosh, Leslie Knope. Leslie Knope. Hard stop.
Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Amy Poehler. Yeah. Parks and Rec. Leslie Knope.
All right.
She's my hero.
Jonas.
I don't really know if it counts as a sitcom, but so is it? I guess I would love. Oh, just give me a second. All right. It's all right. Not sure it's really a sitcom, but I would love to. I'm thinking of this from a performance standpoint, right? The Dean in Community.
Oh my God!
That show. That's like that character is so zany and does so many just wild things. I think from a performance standpoint, I would love to chew on that one.
That'd be fun. All right. Okay.
And we close it out with Jordan.
Hate to seem unoriginal. Becca took my answer.
Leslie
Knope is my all-time favorite sitcom character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably my all-time favorite character, period.
Aww.
She's
so freaking positive.
I know. I wish I could be like that.
What else is it about her that you love so much?
Oh, I think she's just a go-getter.
Yeah.
And I'm like that in to the point where I spread myself too thin, and that's sort of like a plot line of many of the episodes.
It's how you end up doing things like Rocky in December.
It's how we end up doing things like this when we were like, we're going to take a break. But, you know, no, this is worth it. But, yeah, I think we're alike in that way, but yes.
Great stuff. Well, Jonas, Jordan, and Becca, thanks so much for joining us this morning. We so appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And Becca, thank you for getting up early.
Only for you.
Get yourself a coffee.
Literally only for you.
I know it's not your thing. I've been interviewing Becca for like 4 years, and every time she walks in the
door. Longer.
Way longer than that.
All right.
Back when I used to work at the Y.
That's right. Wow.
Been like 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
She come in the door.
Grumpy as hell.
And back then, it was even earlier back then, and I had to drive an hour, so I was in really good.
And you didn't have a toddler.
Yeah.
That's true. All right. Well, best of luck on a great series of performances on Rocky for Equality coming to our very own Community Little Theater on December 12th and 13th.
Woohoo!
Best of luck to you all.
Thank you so much.
Hope you have packed houses and great.
So do we.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and DeBlois Electric for sponsoring today's episode. And if you'd like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com.
Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say, I have bitten my cat.